the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. Bless the Lord for the privilege to bring the word again today. Listeners, we've been bringing this word to you on the first principles of the oracles of God, and we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. We've been dealing with the subject of resurrection, and we'll continue as we trust the Lord to give us understanding that will impact us and change us and conform us to His image and His likeness. And so we read that scripture again, Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. We thank God for giving us the permission or the privilege of sharing His word to lay the foundation for us in Christ so that we can move on to perfection or maturity in Christ. I want to read a scripture since our attention today is still on the issue of resurrection from the dead. It's a very wide subject. We've been on it, and I trust that those of you who are following will follow to the end as we lay precept upon precept, a line upon line for our clear understanding, so that in understanding we'll be able to bring forth fruits of understanding that will produce Christ in us, because that's what the Lord is looking for. We trust that we will not just know the scriptures. For Jesus said to the Pharisees, you study the scripture, you search the scripture, just thinking that by merely reading the scripture, understanding the scripture, you have life in yourself. The scriptures are meant to point to me, to have relationship with me, to have communion with me, to feed on me, to eat me, to have me, and for me to be your very life. That's our goal in bringing the word of the Lord to you. So I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which we also have been looking at, that we've been considering for some weeks now, 23 and 24. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then come at the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. So we see here, like we've shared before, that the order of resurrection is here presented to us. It says first, every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits. Then we look at this, and we said, at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told that the Old Testament saints were seen resurrected with him, and they were seen in Jerusalem. So we consider this as the first fruits, these Old Testament saints who were resurrected the day the Lord himself resurrected. So we consider this as the first fruits, Christ, and then the first fruits. And then afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. And then those who will be resurrected at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're going to see this, and we're going to see the sequence. We're going to see the order as we go on. I believe that the order is this: Christ at his resurrection, like I said, and the Old Testament saints, not all of them, some of them who resurrected with him, as we read in Matthew previously. And then the next one will be those who are Christ at his coming, at the time of his resurrection. And we're going to see this in scripture that this also is even divided. Until the end will come. And then you can see between this verse 23 and 24, there's a wide gap, because the end is not coming until after the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, 1,000 year reign of Christ. So we see the gap between that verse 23 and 24. We trust the Lord that we'll go into all this and we'll be taught by the Lord. But I want to call your attention to this, that Christ at his coming, and it's coming for those that are his. In other words, the first phase of resurrection, or the first resurrection, as we look at it, is for Christ and those who are his at his coming, or at his second coming. And I would like to call your attention to this, that in other words, it's not every believer that will enter into this part of this order, that first resurrection. That we need to look at the scripture and see those who will qualify, those who are preparing themselves for this first resurrection. And we've told you on this program that is the general resurrection, that everybody, every human being will resurrect finally. But for us Christians, we need to understand it, the word of the Lord, to see what we are offered in salvation through Christ. That after being saved as Christians, we are required to walk with God so that we can be partaker of certain blessings and privileges in Christ. That there are certain things that are not just automatic because we are born again. That's a walk with God. And I believe this phrase that Paul used here, when it's afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming, those who have given up themselves totally, their totality to belong to Christ. He owns them. They are his own. They are totally for him. Like the scripture says, he's coming like a thief in the night, but not to steal somebody's property, but to take those who are his own. This first resurrection is for those who are his own. And I want to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. It's important that we spend time on this. Like we said many times, it is not enough just to have the doctrines in our heads. What we would like to see is to see teachings that will propel us to a walk with God, to produce the fruits that God desired in our lives. And so I want to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. It says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until, I like the word until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The word until means there's a work to be done. Okay? The earnest means the first payment or the indication of something that is purchased. If you read it from verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that ye had the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit is sealed, is an indication that we belong to him. The Holy Spirit is an indication that we have been purchased, that we have known him. But that's not all. Verse 16, which is the earnest of our inheritance, is the first payment, the first taste that will belong to him. But God is looking for something. And then the word until, the redemption of the purchase, until this thing that the first winner has been given or has been tasted, until this purchase possession has come to the praise of his glory. So I believe that's what Paul is saying. Those who are Christ at his coming. And I would like to read again in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. I want to show us what the Lord is looking for. And those who are going to be qualified, or those who are going to be part of this resurrection. And I want to read Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 26. It said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That is, the it there means the church. Because if you look at verse 25, it says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Thank God for that. That he, Christ, might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word of God. The washing of the water, the teaching ministry, the pure word of God, the pure water of the word of God, to wash and to cleanse us. Verse 27, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So this is what he's looking for. This is what Paul is saying. Christ and those who belong to him, those who are his, at his coming. So he's coming for this kind of people. people who are sanctified, or people who work in their sanctification, as they are cleansed by the word of God. Jesus said, he said, you are cleansed by the word that I speak to you. So the word is the means of cleansing us and purging us and preparing us. The word is important. That's why the ministry of the word for believers is important. It's unfortunately today that many of our churches' teaching ministry is lacking. There's so much of sensationalism. There's so much of taking one scripture and using one scripture for 1 hour, just revolving around one scripture. Anyone who wants to get prepared for everything that God has for us, to have the totality of Christ's offer to us, must be willing to subject himself to the teaching of the word. And the teaching of the word shows that we are not to choose what we like and what we don't like. Paul was saying in the book of the Acts of Apostles, say, I've declared unto you the whole counsel of God. My hands are clean from your blood. So believers need to be taught the whole counsel of God, the whole truth of the word of God. This is what will prepare us for this resurrection that we are talking about. I want us to look at that Ephesians again, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, that he might present to himself, he's looking for something, a glorious church, not a weak, not a defiled, not a powerless, not a corrupt church, not having spot. Spot, talk of sin, and not having wrinkle or any such thing. Wrinkle talks about old age. Traditions and old age in our lives. Our following God must be fresh and new, because there's a renewing that is going on as we walk with the Lord. The old age, spiritual old age, is dealt with. And the spiritual old age is when people talk about their walk with God last year, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. No, he said, morning by morning, your mercy is new morning by morning. So morning by morning, you open my ears to hear. It's freshness of our walk with God that is talking about there. Or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So this is the kind of people. So when we read from that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Christ at his coming, those who are Christ, those who belong to Christ is coming. I also want to go on. Like I said, I'm going to spend some time here because to me, this is very, very important for all of us. I'd like to go to another scripture that will throw more light for us on this issue that we're looking at. And I want us to go to Galatians chapter 5. I trust that those of you who are listening, you are following, and it's your desire to get yourself ready and prepare for this resurrection that we're talking about. So let's go to Galatians, and we'll see again. And we will link it together, Galatians chapter 5. And you will see here what Paul is also saying after talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And he goes on to say in verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envy one another. So we see here, when Paul used that word, let's go back to that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we read earlier, and we can see that the scripture is just the same. He says there, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. And here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, I say, oh, and they that are Christ, the same language, the same expression, have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. The word affection means passion, cravings, desires of the flesh. They have crucified this flesh. They are following God and allowing their flesh to be crucified so that they can be spiritual, so that they can walk with God. That's what he's saying. So those who are Christ, who are ready for this resurrection, are those who are crucifying the flesh, are those who are killing the deeds of the flesh, those who are killing this. And you will see this. I'm still explaining this because it's very, very important. I also like to go to Romans chapter 8. I'm still explaining the issue of those who are Christ, those who are walking so that the purchase, the fullness of redemption can be expressed or can be experienced in them. I want to read to us again Romans chapter 8, and I want to read verse 1 and 2. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. We see again, those who are in Christ here is that those who are not walking in their flesh, rather they are crucifying the flesh. They are not working their passions and cravings and natural desire. They are not ruled by their natural emotions and cravings and desire and the laws and corruption in them. Rather, they are crucifying their flesh. They are walking in the spirit. That's what he's saying. Those who are in Christ are those who, after being born again, they are not walking in their flesh. Because after you are born again, your flesh is still there. So the issue with a believer, the issue with every man is not about just sin, but about our flesh. When we have been forgiven our sins and we are born again, we need to deal with the flesh. And it's those who are dealing with the flesh by walking the spirit that are really his, or that are in him. I read that scripture again. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, and they are defined for us. It is explained. Who walk not after the flesh, but they walk after the spirit. This is what Paul is saying. This resurrection is for those who are crucifying the flesh, those who are walking in the spirit, those who are not walking in their carnal desire and carnal motives, but they are crucifying it. When they see, they are crucifying it. And then the scripture shows us how to crucify it. And I'm going to show you that scripture. Okay? Romans 8:13 is the one that shows us how to do it. It says, for if you live after the flesh, believers, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you do mortify, the word mortify means to kill, to mortify the deeds of the flesh or the body, ye shall live. Ye shall live in Christ. Or you shall be alive in Christ. Or you shall be the one walking and living in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:23. When he said Christ at his coming, those who are his, we have seen this. Those who are his are those who are dealing with the issue of their flesh, who are crucified the flesh, who are walking in the spirit, who are not allowing the deeds of their flesh, their passion, their carnality to rule them, but they are submitting to the spirit. They are walking in the spirit. They are allowing the Holy Spirit that has been the earnest or the first payment, the first indication of their salvation to rule them, to help them crucify the flesh. The Bible says, you reckon yourself dead, that your old man has been crucified in Christ. What Jesus did on the cross, we have been crucified positionally. But it is walking in the Spirit that makes it an experience. Judicially, as far as God is concerned, we have been crucified in Christ. The old man has been crucified. But the scripture does not stop there. The scripture says, I need to walk it out by walking in the Spirit, by listening to the Spirit, by crucifying, by agreeing with what God has done on the cross in Christ and walking it out. Listeners, we're talking about resurrection, but we're talking about those who will have part in this first resurrection. It is important that we understand this. That's why we're bringing it to you, so that we can see it. We're spending time on this because it's important. For us, it's not just to settle a doctrinal issue, what we believe, so that we can say we believe in resurrection. That is important. We must be sound in doctrine and sound in teaching, but it's important to go beyond that and to walk. It's a walk. It's a preparation. The Bible says the bride has made herself ready and to us been granted. It is when we make ourselves ready. This is important. That as a believer, we will not just sit down after being born again and be satisfied that we are born again and we are just sitting down without a walk. We'll continue to emphasize this and to speak this. It's important. It's important that we do this. I'm not done yet. I'm still going to show us what it means to be in Christ. If that's all we can do today, and then we can move on next week, it's important. But I still want to show you some scriptures for our help. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I know that this scripture, again, is popular, and I'm deliberately bringing it because I know it's popular. We often quote this scripture, and I believe in the light of what we're seeing now, listener, you can understand this scripture better. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, you know now what it means to be in Christ. He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you look at the language here, it's important. I find my own translation say, let him, if any man be Christ, let him become a new creature. That's the way another translation puts it. Let him become a new creature. It's a process. I often hear many believers, they quote this scripture, if any man be in Christ, and everything is new. A lot of believers live in denial. a denial of the reality of the conflict in their hearts, in their soul, the struggle of their flesh, the struggle of their carnality. They live in denial because they've been taught soul. They've been taught they are okay. They've been taught they are sanctified. They've been taught everything is okay. But they live in denial. They live in denial because it's not real. They are not living that overcoming life and experiencing the help of the Holy Spirit to help them defeat and to kill the deeds of the flesh. So what this scripture is saying is that anyone being Christ, from the scripture we have looked at, you can see it means those who are walking in Christ, those who are walking in the Spirit, those who are submitting to the dealings of the Spirit, those who are crucifying the flesh, they are the one in Christ. We can then say for such people, they are becoming a new creature. Until, that's what the scripture we read in Ephesians 1:14, until. A walk until it is perfected. That's why we are saying we are bringing this doctrinal teaching of first principle of Christ to you, because he said without it we can't move on to perfection. But this is a process by which we move on to perfection. Not just perfection in knowledge, but perfection in Christ. That we have his nature. Paul said we want everyone and we teach everyone to present everyone perfect in Christ, mature in his image and likeness. Paul says, my little share of whom I travail in birth, or the Christ be formed in you, and the Christ is formed in our souls. This is important. So we see this scripture here, and I hope you will take this scripture in, and you will not misapply this scripture again. You will not just quote it and say it when it's not real. It is a work, it is a process. If any man be in Christ, and is working, and is following the Holy Spirit, like we've shown to you, he's going to become a new creature. All things are passing away. That's the way we should read it. Behold, all things, it didn't say all things became new, it said all things are become. Ah, present, continuous tense. All things are become new. Talking about present and continuous sense here. It's a work. And this is what the scripture says. These are the ones that will have part in the resurrection. That's why, please, let us understand. To tell believers who are not living for God, even though they are born again, to say they should wait for the rapture, that suddenly rapture will come and they will be carted away and they will be taken away suddenly, is to deceive them. It will give them half gospel, half truth. And we must not give God's people half truth. The scripture says to heal the wounds of the daughter of Zion slightly is a deception. And we must not do. We must give the word of God. We must declare the whole counsel of God to God's people so that they can be ready for this glorious experience, this glorious hope, this glorious expectation that is ahead of us. And I believe very soon. I'd like to read another scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want to read from verse 13 to 17. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them which sleep in Jesus. I like that expression again. Which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. He's bringing them, those who died in Christ. Blessed are they that die in Christ. He's bringing them with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead, again, we are in Christ, shall rise first. That's the first resurrection. Shall rise first, the dead in Christ, those who died while walking in Christ, while crucifying their flesh, while submitting to the dealings of the Holy Spirit, those who die while their carnality and never moved on, never progressed, never walked, never journeyed with God. That's not what the scripture is saying. Then we shall alive, not just alive physically, that's not what the scripture is saying. Yes, to be alive physically, but then to be alive beyond just being physically alive, to be alive spiritually, alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This message is meant to comfort you if you are walking with God. It's not meant to annoy you. It's not meant to grieve you. It's meant to comfort you, to say to you there's a glorious hope, and that hope is something you must be prepared. And I want to say, you listener, you must live in the light. You must live in the light of the Word of God. You must live in the light of the Word. Your life must be lived in the light of the Word of God, in the light of what God has promised and has positioned before us. It's important. So we see there again, it's clear from what we have read, we shall live and shall remain. So we see the same scripture that God is insisting that we must be alive in Christ And if we die, we must die in Christ. This is important, and we must realize this, and we must keep this. And I trust that this is a blessing to you. I trust that you have been blessed. I trust that you have been challenged in your walk with God. I trust that you will go back and check these things if truly they are so. And if they are so, believe them and walk in them. If you have been taught wrongly, it's time to look at these things yourself and be prepared for this glorious experience that is called resurrection. A mighty, glorious experience. There's nothing to live for than to live for such a glorious hope. That's why the Bible says, if it's only in this world we have hope, we are the most miserable. Then if our philosophy of life is let's eat and drink and die, then we are not better than beasts. But God has redeemed us so that we can live a higher life here and now in preparation for that glorious hope that is set before us. I pray that the Lord will bless you. I pray that the word that you've heard again today will come with impact and blessing into your life that will cause you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the essence. That will cause you to experience Him in another dimension, in another way, so that you can be prepared for that glorious hope. We'll come your way again next week, and we'll continue from where we are today, because we want to continue and emphasize the fact of what we are, who we are, and what we must be in preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask the Lord to bless you. I ask that His grace will follow you. I ask that you will never remain the same. I speak the blessing of the Lord. I speak the power of God into your life. I speak the same power of resurrection into you. We said to you on this program that resurrection is not what we are waiting for. It's what we should be experiencing in our spirit, in our souls, and in our bodies. It's something we must be experiencing. I speak that power of resurrection into your spirit. I speak that power of resurrection into your soul. I see this power of resurrection into your body. Because if the spirit of Him that raised up Jesus Christ dwells in you, which means your soul, it shall also quicken your mortal bodies. I speak healing into your bodies that will deliver you so that you can truly walk with the Lord. Because He's coming for a glorious church, a church without spot and without wrinkle. God bless you.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers, 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again, 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again, endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejaroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of